This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Adele Dazzy.
Hey. Call the cops. Hey.
This level of foolishness and joy. Hey.
Houston, we have a dog.
I'm just chilling.
Great ass.
Damn it.
Are you hilarious? Hey. Hey. Hey.
Are you?
Shisha.
You're a clown. Shisha. Shisha. Hey.
Damn it. Hey.
Hey. Yeah, people
hey.
Are gonna die.
Hey. Yeah, baby.
Guilty.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
We're here to have good, guilty Christian fun. No, you know, we're actually a guilt-free podcast because we don't want to do shame. We don't want to politic and body shaming or anything like that. Or any kind of, or soul shaming.
No. Either.
You remember when snacks and cookies at the grocery store used to advertise and market as guilt-free?
Oh, yes.
What did that mean? Because I don't know what that means.
Really?
No. Does that mean fat-free?
It means like you can have this delicious snack and normally if you had a cookie, you'd feel guilty because you're so scared of gaining weight.
Uh-huh.
But now you don't have to feel guilty when you have these chips because none of it's going to go to your hips.
But it's not like a technical, like we've removed the gluten and the guilt out of it or something like that.
Only a man would have like... I'm shocked that this has never occurred to you before. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. It's just like... What's it like to live your life? Pretty good.
Not bad. Had pizza and ice cream for breakfast.
That's insane. Yeah, so guilt-free. Do you remember also back in the day, there were always like chocolate commercials or things like that. And it would talk about like, you can have this. It's almost sinful how delicious it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, chocolate and sin was a huge theme. And that, of course, brings us to the apex deconstructionist text of the... early aughts, which was Blue Like Jazz. Do you remember the illustration he used in that?
No.
It was like, you know, for some people, I'm screwing this up. Blue Like Jazz, the Donald Miller book that then became a cinema masterwork.
Precursor.
That's right. James Austin Johnson was in? Was he in it? Or did we just talk about
it?
Yeah. Was he in it?
Let me look it up.
He was in October Baby, which is a movie about abortion. I forget if he was actually in the movie that we talked about with him on this show 2 years ago, pre-SNL.
Should have brought that up.
SNL, I know.
Let's try to get him canceled now.
What, James?
Yeah, because now he's got that big name recognition. He's part of the SNL brand.
Uh-huh.
So now us bringing to light that he was part of the abortion movie is really going to sing.
Yeah, you think that's going to come across Lawrence Transom? He's going to be like, James, come in. I didn't know about this
Lauren
movie.
Has a line.
That's good grief.
Somewhere?
Probably.
Turns out it's
he
just
gets telegrams.
Baby. Yeah.
He loves popcorn. Okay, it was just October Baby. Oh, but no, in
no,
Blue
he
Like,
was in Blue Like Jazz.
He was in Blue Like Jazz?
Yeah, he plays drunk freshman.
Was he in the background or did he have a line? We did an episode with him.
How did you
him.
Even know? Oh, did he talk about that when he was on?
I don't remember.
This is...
I'm going to find the quote for Blue Like Jazz. I said Boo Like Jizz. That's like when a ghost nuts. Non-religious thoughts on Christian spirituality. Okay, here's the quote. I always thought the Bible was more of a salad thing, you know, but it isn't. It's a chocolate thing. And I think if I remember correctly in the book, and listeners can correct me, I believe he's talking about how he talked to some friend of his in college about how they would try to create a positive association with the Bible by eating chocolate while reading it. So it's like, yeah, The tasty stuff.
That's
the Bible.
So funny to give a Pavlov reaction. Mm-hmm. What do you think it would take for you to crack open your Bible? Like, what would need to be in between the pages snack-wise for you to have a great association?
Oh, man. Probably like popcorn-flavored rice cake with avocado spread on it.
What if I made you a Bible that was made out of rice cakes?
Oh, my God. Every page?
You would consume.
Old and New Testament?
The bread of life.
Both equally? Oh, my gosh.
Is a rice cake technically bread? Is it in a bread category
well,
for
it's
you?
A grain.
It's a cracker.
It's a grain because it's rice. That's such a good question. It's either a huge cracker or it's like pre-made toast. Because you spread things on it the way you would spread on toast.
That's what I was thinking.
But
you do that with crackers, too.
Yeah,
I think it's the thickness of it that's throwing you off the cracker trail.
Mm-hmm. Hey, the thickness is always throwing me off the cracker trail. I just watched that Roger Ebert documentary. His wife had thickness that threw him off the cracker trail.
What are you talking about?
He had a very beautiful black
wife.
Yes.
Oh, okay, nice.
That threw him off the cracker trail.
And he left.
Yeah. Chaz Ebert, who once described him... Ashley C. Ford did an interview where she was quoting her because Chaz was also very
eloquent.
Her
name was Chaz?
Yeah, his wife's name.
Okay.
Still living. And the way she described Roger is that he is the fact of my life, which is one of the most romantic things I've ever heard. Yes.
Wow.
Isn't that gorgeous?
That's lovely.
I know. I always remember that. I think about that every day.
I think about that every day.
Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we think about it every day. The music and the movies and the entertainment made for and made by Christians. We're not here to make fun of you. We're not here to make you go to church. We're just here to give you a little. We're not here to make you go to church with the Fablemans. We're just here to have a little chocolatey audio podcast experience.
A sinful, guilt-free podcast experience.
Mm-hmm. A guilt-free con-pon.
Con-pon.
Experience.
Con-pon is when you do sponsored podcasts, but it's a con artist.
I tell you what, this is true. I got approached for some SponCon today, and I'm going to do it.
Oh, can you share?
I don't know if I should cut this out. I'm not going to reveal any of the specifics other than I talked to a friend of mine who does SponCon all the time. And I was like, what are your rates? Like, I don't know what to charge for because I so rarely do that stuff.
$10,000.
Well, she's like, I don't know. Look at the agency and how much money, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, I think this comes out even after or before. It doesn't matter. I don't want to say too much about it. But she's like, well, start high and then, you know, negotiate. Just like 101 negotiation stuff. I'm like, okay, sounds good. I was like, is this too high for a post? She's like, I don't know. Here's what my deals are like. And she was great. And she was very helpful with all that. And then I named a rate. And they were like, oh, well, we'll pay you more than double that. And I was like, okay, I'll take it.
Damn.
So I felt like a rube. I felt like a true rookie with that stuff.
That's so insane, too, when they're also like, we're going to take care of you because that's so low. It's insulting to us as a company and you.
And then I felt like truly like a dork about it. I was like, I'm bad at this.
But going into working with a team, I think it's probably better to be the guy that's like, oh, you'll come working here? Thanks, y'all.
$50,
versus,
please?
Yeah, like, I'll be doing a cool million for this one, you know? Mm-hmm. And they don't like that guy, probably. So if you're going to pick one side of the spectrum, negotiation-wise, you should be higher. But, you know, relationship-wise.
Well, and it's always like, this is just basic stuff. But the person saying, here's the rate we can pay you. It's not their money, so they have no emotional tie to it.
Exactly.
So they're like, hey, I'm happy to do it because it doesn't mean anything
it's not
to
mine.
Me.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm like, okay, thank you.
You're like, this changes my life.
I'm going to buy so many rice cakes with this.
Now, you can fill a rice cake to heaven. You, with the SponCon, did you approach or were you approached?
Okay, Oprah. I was approached. It was an inbox situation.
That's insane.
And it looked like spam at first.
Are you going to post it on your Instagram?
Well, I don't want to say too. I'll tell you off mic. But okay. Yeah, yes.
Is it going on Peloton? It's going on OnlyFans.
It's going on SponCon for OnlyFans? So
that work?
Yeah, so they pay like a dollar per fan. So it's like, all right, $12. It will double it, $24.
We'll pay you $24, sweetheart. Exciting. Wow. Well, I can't wait to hear more off mic about that.
I've told you this before. I'm ready to sell out.
I don't know if you did tell me this before.
I'm ready to sell out. Like, what do I do on social media anymore?
Kevin, what part of you isn't ready to sell out?
Finally, I've given up my lifelong ideals and principles and values.
To expose myself.
And now I'm ready. By the way, Best Fiends, beautiful app. Great app.
On level 2000. I mean, your OnlyFans alone, I think that gave a good indication of this man is ready to monetize his life. And there's nothing wrong with that. Go for it.
Hey.
We're all trying to live that way.
We need multiple streams of revenue.
When you introduce yourself and people ask you what you do you say, I'm a creator?
Yeah, I say I'm a content creator. I got a streaming wars and I'm winning.
There, it was creative and now it's creator. You remember that? Like, I'm a creative and now they say I'm a creator.
Hmm.
There was a shift.
You're right. Yeah, it went from creative to creator. Mm-hmm. What do you attribute that to? Jenna Marbles?
Creator does sound more decisive and sounds more legitimate somehow. You know, creative conjures crafts. Creator conjures
Jenna Marbles.
Jenna Marbles. Wait, Jenna Marbles?
Jenna Marbles is a...
I know who she is.
Yeah. But I'm just saying she's a YouTube person. So yeah, I just think of like...
Creator.
People that a lot of people have never heard of, but are millionaires for playing Super Mario speedruns on Twitch or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like that Far Side cartoon. You remember that Far Side cartoon? Did you read Far Side?
Here and there, yeah.
Okay. There was one where it was like a mom and dad watching their son play video games. And Far Side only went to like 94, so this is probably like early 90s that this was published. And the caption was like idealistic parents or something. And it was them dreaming of like wanted Super Mario player for $7,000 a year or whatever. And then it's like, oh, that's Twitch.
Give it about 15 years or so.
Literally. Okay, here's what it is. Hopeful parents are watching him play a console game. And then there's like help wanted ads for people who play video
games. Looking for good Mario Brothers player. That's funny.
That's got to, that, I, you know, as much empathy and compassion as I always try to have for the older generation, it must be a true mind F to be like, video games, oh, well, what the heck are these? Well, everyone's a millionaire now from like, oh, you can just play Call of Duty and be like,
in their room and like being a jackass.
Like, what's the thing that people are going to monetize 20 years from now that we're going to have a hard time?
Great question.
Comprehending and processing.
I'm going to say it's something about sharing shits, you know, like maybe mailing them and or broadcasting them. Yeah, because it's like how much it if privacy is what we're mining at this point, you know, I'm broadcasting from my bedroom. I'm on my podcast talking about my mommy and daddy and going to church. And, you know, now at a certain point, that's like, that's not even interesting to people anymore. That's like, yeah, we all know everybody's business. I knew that before I met you.
Caroline, do you think people don't already monetize their shit? Have you been to...
Not to the scale.
There's ratemypoo.com.
Is that monetized?
They have ads on it, I think.
Okay. And also, ratemypoo is like a 2006 website.
And you have to imagine that there's like, you know, people with specialties on OnlyFans are like, yeah, I'll do this genre.
Definitely. Yes.
Of kink. And you now, wanna see this?
But it's not even a kink thing. It's just commercialized in some way or another.
It's commercialized the way that like music or entertainment.
And you know,
is.
I know I'm on the right track because you and I were having a hard time.
We're having
understanding
a hard time.
It.
Yeah. So it's like the thing you're saying.
It sounds like nonsense.
My only counter to that is that like the Nintendo and video game thing is like it's a tech innovation. It's something that didn't exist in our parents' lifetime that then did, that then became monetized.
Okay.
The
what's next?
Defecation has been...
It's a regression.
Tale as old as time. Song
well,
as old as rhyme.
Well, there could be a tech element to it.
Poopy and the pee.
P.20. Yeah. Maybe there's, you know, a cam in the toilet, like, looking up.
Like Breaking Bad style? Like where they put the camera in object?
I didn't watch that show, but I imagine that's... Yeah, you're probably on the right track.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Okay, what's your suggestion? What's the new thing we're gonna... This is the new frontier. We don't understand.
Ooh, gracious. I think it'll be some more No, I mean, everything I can think of is something that someone's already doing to some degree. Mm-hmm. But I guess you're talking about the mainstreamification of that.
Right.
I think people are going to get way more into it. There are podcasts now where it's just people recording themselves walking for 20 minutes and not talking to anybody.
That's something.
And that becomes like an ASMR thing. And yeah, that feels like a little niche-y right now. But I guess people monetize their ASMR.
I mean, do you ever watch those TikTok lives that are just like a restaurant counter, just a normal night shift, and they just have the camera on the business?
Is that allowed to like film customers and broadcast them?
Probably not. I don't know. Huh. But I've watched a few of them. It's just like a pizza restaurant and the camera's behind the counter and you just see people coming up and ordering. And it's similar to that podcast. Like there's something soothing about the normalness of it, but it's interesting enough. There's like some movement.
That would be so funny if like all innovation in technology and industry leads us to, yeah, we're basically going to do like experimental French cinema from the 1970s. We're going to do Jean Dielman.
Yeah,
of like
hyper-realism.
Do you want to watch me peel potatoes for 3.5 hours? I guess so.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay, for that. Gracious, we're talking about the song Guilty today by the Newsboys. You had heard this song
Guilty
before. Guilty. Did you recognize that drop?
No. What is that from?
It's from Family Guy.
Oh.
Which I think is funny, at least in my...
Like, are you ashamed of yourself?
Yes. I mean, but no, because then I talk to people who've got... I think Carl Tart's on the front lines of this war too, where it's like, Family Guy's funny. It was when we were children,
yeah,
at least, like yeah, when we were growing up. There's
like
certain things that just
it's
got
the
like...
Family Guy fans, similar to Rick and Morty, you know, like it's the culture around it that's a little unsavory.
I don't even know what the culture of a Family Guy fan is, though.
Oh, I feel like that's always a shorthand of just like someone who's kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm.
No offense to Family Guy fans out there, myself included.
Stewie is listening to this podcast? Speaking of which, did you get to the part of Harry's book where he's like, I love Stewie and I really connect with him?
No. Is that true?
Yeah.
Man, I need to read that book. I got to pick that up. It's probably a long line in the library to put a hold on it.
I would assume you'd be balls deep in it by now.
I mean,
what's
I've
not to like? He talks about frostbite on his hog. He talks about Stewie.
The snippets I have heard are so haunting. But I feel like I've been so balls deep in royal stuff in general. I don't know. I'm not like a Harry fan.
Okay.
He doesn't interest me in particular. Like there's definitely elements of his life I think are definitely interesting.
Like the Afghanistan meme.
Like the Afghanistan stuff and like the Hitler costume, you know, absolutely hilarious bits.
I'm just talking, not even his time serving, but just the meme where he hears something and they rush off and people overlay like their favorite song on it.
Exactly.
I put Pony on it one time, I think. I'm like, me at the wedding reception or whatever. Good grief.
Yeah, so, but I will get around to it, I think, because I'm curious.
Yeah, it seems way up your alley. In his own words, because you did watch the documentary, Harry and Meghan's documentary.
Of course I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when she read I did see the clip where she's like, babe, Beyonce texted me. She said, I was chosen by God to be a light and beacon for people around the world. And he's like, oh, a good love or whatever he said. It's so funny.
He is babe. Like... I think especially watching that documentary, mm-hmm, he reminds me a lot of like the husbands on home makeover shows, which I watch a lot of, mm-hmm, who are totally dear, probably wonderful men, but they're just kind of like along for the ride, you know? And they're also a little bit, and I don't mean this in a misogynist way, but like a little bit afraid of their wife, you know? And so they're just kind of like... rolling with what she says, because at this point it's just like better that way. And also they do have a high opinion of her, I think.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, because I witnessed this Friday night.
Oh, where?
Yeah, I went to our friend Jackie Johnson's home where she did a run through of her one woman show whose title I won't spoil because it's so good. Gosh. When she debuts it at the Elysian or the Virgil or wherever she does it. But her sweet husband, Ben, was running the PowerPoint for her show the whole time.
Yeah.
And she's talking about very explicit things with them. And he's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's just like a sweetie. He's making everyone cocktails.
Yes.
And like, yeah.
It's great. It functions. It's awesome. They're happy with each other. But sometimes like one person in the couple is so dynamic or extra. Jackie's a great example. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so with Meghan and Harry, I see that a lot. And he's just sort of like there.
Yeah. Maybe that's going to be the kind of husband I am or the kind of wife I am. I don't know. Yeah. There's a lot of options for me, I guess.
You think you'll be the subdued one?
I used to not, but now I think
Mr.
I may.
Mr. Neutral.
I think I may in maybe. The future, actually.
Yeah, I'm... maybe that'll be like your retirement from after you've monetized your life. You've got your spawn con.
And every part and aspect of it.
Yeah, you're done.
I think so.
Are you like ready to quit your job full time? I sponsor my life.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That would be great.
No, but I like having multiple revenue streams.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying you're cutting off all of the streams.
Right. Yeah, I would never. I'm keeping HBO Max for sure.
Yeah. And definitely be putting a stream in your bathroom.
Yeah.
That's a big way to get some cash.
Well, that's a very popular genre on my OnlyFans. Okay. Well, on that note, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time for another edition of Singles Ministry.
It's Singles Ministry.
Singles ministry, where we take one.
Ministry. The greatest singles ministry.
Singles.
The greatest snowman. That's me. Wow, 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 wow.
I feel like Snowman from Elvis hasn't caught on the way I hoped it would. It has for me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and your own proclivities.
But who else?
Certain corners of the internet, you can find what you're looking for.
All right.
I'm sorry he was shut out today as we're recording this. Oscars were
but
announced.
He wasn't shut out of the Razzies.
He was not. I think he got two nominations in the Razzies, which is very rude. The Razzies are rude. I don't like the Razzies.
You don't
actually like
the Razzies.
I think they're mean.
They're not pivoting to kindness.
They nominated Lapkus for a Razzie for the wrong Missy. I'm like, that's fucking rude.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I feel like comedies should be off the table for Razzies.
I think so, too. And I think someone like her, I'm like, what are you doing? It's fun if you're like Halle Berry, worst Catwoman, and then she shows up and accepts the award. Or they did with Sandra Bullock. I think they did with Sandra Bullock for one movie. I'm forgetting the name of.
Doesn't she accepted have, like, the Razzie. Well, acceptance.
In 1 month, she accepted the Razzie and the Oscar.
Wow.
Like on different days. I think if I'm not conflating that. So that makes sense. But I don't like the, it feels a little too,
You know, it feels a little too Rick and Morty now. Mm. The Razzies do.
A Family Guy thing.
A little too, yeah, I guess a Family Guy thing. I truly don't know what the vibe of Family Guy is now because it's been on for like 25 years now.
Yeah. Is it still going?
Yeah.
Still doing fresh stuff?
Still trucking along.
Wow.
Mila Kunis, that's her most active project.
That's crazy.
Because she is, of course, Meg. Singles Ministry is where we talk about one single song for the entirety of the second half of the episode. We're talking about a song called Guilty, a song by the Newsboys, released in the election year of March 2016 on their album Love Riot. And then, of course, it was attached to a little film called God's Not Dead 2.
Yeah, it's not dead. I didn't clock it that this came out in 2016. I thought for sure this was like an early 2000s, you know, post 9/11 American evangelical anthem.
That makes sense, but I think it's more of a President Trump blues playlist anthem. Alongside Carman, RIP. But we remember God's Not Dead 2, a movie we covered 5 years ago on the podcast with our friend Allison Miller. Yeah. Melissa Joan Hart starred in it. It was a courtroom drama.
Oh, yeah, about a teacher praying. And yes.
About, like, prayers in schools. Mm-hmm. That's illegal. And
you'll go to jail.
You'll literally go to jail. David A.R. White is all up in there. Of course, Melissa Joan Hart. Fred Thompson's last role. Pat Boone, Ray Wise. Anyway, so Newsboys does the song like they do for God's Not Dead 1, they do God's Not Dead 2, and they do Guilty, which is a song of a particular flavor. Kind of looking for it again. I'm trying to think if there's any secular film analogs for, hey, you remember how you loved the song from the first movie? We're going to try to make it happen again for the second movie. I don't know what that would be. Because you got a friend of me in Toy Story 1, but I don't know what's in Toy Story 2. Oh, I guess it would be
She Loved Me.
When Somebody Loved Me.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
That is
example.
Pretty good. Pretty good follow up.
Woo! That song.
But not the
good.
Same person.
No, but he wrote it. He wrote both
of those
songs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he did.
So in the demo, it's like, when somebody loved me, everything was beautiful.
But she loved me.
When she loved me.
Pretty good.
So this is the Newsboys equivalent of When She Loved Me. We're listening to the song from their album Love Riot from the movie God's Not Dead 2, a song called Guilty.
When did it become breaking a rule to say your name out loud in school? When your name's the only one that sets us free?
That's right.
When did it become incorrect to speak the truth about life and death?
That's incorrect, young
man. That's
the
worst thing that's ever happened to me.
All eternal.
Yeah, he will.
If serving you's against the law, man, if living out my faith in you is banned, then I'll stand right before the jury. Saying I believe is out of line. If I'm just cause I'm gonna give my life to show.
There's not much variance in the rest of it.
You get the idea.
I rose up in honor of you. I'll testify to all the good you do because your grace and mercy have overtaken me. Guilty by association, guilty of being a voice proclaiming your ways, your life, your truth. I'll pay the price to be your light. Guilty. Guilty. Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know if you remember this when we covered it, but we talked about it a teeny tiny.
We did. I don't remember
it was
that.
Half a GD decade ago. So
gracias.
Who could remember? But of course, I mean, just to have I have to show you here.
To say your name.
There he is.
The music video, it's taking place in some sort of like government building, it looks like.
It's a gorgeous building.
Yeah,
I was
going to
ask if this is Michael Tate or that other guy.
Oh, it's Mr. Tate.
Mr. Tate. This is Tate all over it.
The wickedly talented Mr. Tate.
No hate to Tate.
Now, don't take, don't hate because you ain't take, as they say. And in his own words, even though he did not write the song was written by two songwriters,
two brave
for hire.
Pioneers.
Juan Otero and Pete Stewart.
Two anarchists for Christ.
And in this interview, Tate gives a little backstory to why they sing this song.
Guilty. The song Guilty. Man, what a powerful punch and twist on the lyric.
Guilty, right?
You think of being guilty, you think, oh, that's a negative thing, you know, guilty.
He forgot this song.
You know, hurting someone's feelings or guilty of stealing or whatever.
I feel like this is like that episode of Frasier where he doesn't know what to say on the telethon.
Yeah.
It's like, buttons and bows.
Harry Styles at a press conference. He just knows the title.
What I like about Guilty is that it's a real...
It's a real song.
It's like a real go-to-the-speakers song.
It's like a song you can really listen to.
Our life.
This is being guilty because we... the twist of it is much of laughing. Jeff sometimes jokes as a country song lyric. The twist is we are guilty because of our love for Christ. We're not ashamed to say we believe God's not dead. Yes, we are guilty of that.
There's more.
When I was a kid, we could pray in school. When I was a kid, we took our Bibles to school. When I was a kid, we pledged allegiance to the U.S. flag every day in school.
Now, unless he's 80, that's not true.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Or it was a
is
Christian.
Is he thinking of Liberty U?
Yeah.
Yeah, or was it a private
when I was
school?
A kid, 21 years old, at Jerry Falwell School.
Yeah.
A hand over our heart. Those days are gone. What happened?
We don't pledge allegiance
way,
anymore.
Things got cray-cray. That's all because it talks about the fact, you know what? If doing the right thing is looked at as soft and politically incorrect and weak.
Pussy.
That's pretty sad. It's changed a lot. Society's changed a lot. Do the wrong thing. Do the wrong thing. They praise you. They call you brave, courageous. No. I say stay the course. We'll see revival in our country with the stay the course and do the right thing. By God and by man.
By God and by man? Which one? Wait, I think there's a little more.
If doing the right thing is wrong, these boys up here, this chocolate brother here, you see vanilla boys up here, we'll be guilty all day long.
Right, fellas?
They're all looking at the ground. that is...
They're checking their bank accounts to make sure the check cleared.
Look at the Chase app on their phone. Michael Tate is such a ineffective political pawn in a lot of ways.
I'm not even implying this, but his energy in that clip is cokey.
Very.
It's like, I mean, people are like this, and that's not true. And it's great, and
if
blah,
not
blah, blah,
coke, something just, like he is scattered. He's leaning on old chestnuts, you know, of jokes. He's not making sense. Who's they? Who's they praising you for doing? Like, what are you even talking about? Doesn't matter.
Yes.
He's so used to being in an audience. It's like we love it. Keep it up, you know.
Yeah, there's more interview snippets and imprint. The lyrics remind me this is him talking to a publication called New Release Today. The lyrics remind me of being a black kid growing up in D.C., going to high school, best friends with Toby Mac. We prayed in school back in those days. We pledged allegiance to the U.S. flag. Somewhere along the way, things got cray-cray, as my grandma would often say, honey, baby, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. I'd say we've lost the handbasket. And so, just to be clear, it is 2016,
mm-hmm.
in the summer of 2016.
Right.
Not November 2016. So that means America is going in a bad direction. It's not yet going into a good,
awesome direction.
Direction again.
Perfect direction.
Which it'll do for 4 years, no notes, and then it's going to go in a bad
absolute
direction again.
Tailspin.
It is so
funny. Wow. Very telling, too, that he lumps in praying with school with saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah. Well, and this is the whole tragedy, as we've talked maybe off mic before or on mic with that one woman who did the Trump America documentary song where it was all the women that are like, I wasn't assaulted by him. And people are like, I think this is Christian nationalism. She's like, No, it's not, because I don't know what that is. And these things
it's a very Jenna Maroney defense, too.
And I think it is sincere, but it doesn't...
Like, yeah.
It's like, I'm not racist because I don't know what the word racist means. Right. Like, that would be the same.
And we used to be allowed to be racist without it being such a big freaking deal.
Listen, we used to be a country, a
proper
nation. We
used to do a lot of things.
So, yes, guilty.
This is a song about being able to say the Pledge of Allegiance in school, which they don't let you do anymore.
No,
it's also a song full of twists and turns and mind games, according to Michael Tate.
Oh, yeah. It's a psychosexual thriller of lyrics.
If this was a movie, Michael Douglas would be in it, and we would all be talking about the ending.
Like, yeah, why? Everyone was attracted to him? The first lines, when did it become breaking a rule to say your name out loud in school? So those being the first lyrics in the song, it's like, to say Kevin in school? Oh, God. When your name's the only one that sets us free. Okay, so it's not mine. When did it become incorrect to speak the truth about life and death? Life and death? No, that's incorrect, young man.
So funny. Also, it's not... I don't think it's breaking the rules to literally say Jesus Christ at school. Like, that's already such hyperbole, of course. And I think about this so often, like, in the from the perspective of the host from You're Wrong About, Michael Hobbs, who mm-hmm. talks a lot about, like, these conservative freakouts about political correctness and free speech, especially on campus and school, and how it's often like so overblown and ridiculous and not even true that like, so the stakes are already like, it's against the rules and it's not correct. And then eventually it gets to the point where like, I'll go to jail if I love Jesus, which is not happening like in any world in America right now. Right. Would be a big stretch to kind of pin that on that.
But it makes it the perfect tie-in for a movie like God's Not Dead, where that is the universe, where it's like they are entering into a chick tract of a cinematic universe.
Yes,
you know, like,
yes.
Where it's like, in this world...
In this world, yeah. You... So in this scenario, they're like, you're a teacher, you teach math, and if you even mention that you're a Christian... You're going to get hauled out of the room by a SWAT team. You're going to be executed mm-hmm. in the town square and then sent to prison after you've been executed mm-hmm. for doing that. Mm-hmm. That's what's going on. And that makes no sense to you because you're thinking, but Jesus Christ and Christianity is the only truth. How could anyone have a problem with that ever? Mm-hmm. That's insane. And it doesn't even get to the part where it's like, it's my right to be a Christian or like religious freedom. It's purely just like, why wouldn't I ever get to say the only truth into the world? What a topsy-turvy world we live in that any other religion would exist or that anyone would just like opt out of this.
Right. That's what's always funny about this stuff is that it is a denial of pluralism that is just like a fact of the matter where it's like, it's not a statement of belief to say we live in a pluralist society or a country where like multiple religions mm-hmm. are.
It's not even a lack of faith to say that.
Right. It's just, and pluralism is so insufficient and so many things of like establishment clause and church and state are for the protections of pluralism, but it's still not enough. So the sort of like, going back in regression and getting back to Christian values and MAGA stuff, it's like it didn't exist.
It never did.
You're not getting back there. There used to be a predominant flavor in the same way where it's like when you used to go to the movies, it used to be mostly Westerns.
Mm-hmm.
Westerns are not illegal now. There's less Westerns. If you want to make a Western movie, you can.
Go ahead.
Go for it. It's just not the predominant center of cinema culture,
uh-huh.
but it's not illegal for you to make a Western, and you can't legally force anyone else to make a Western.
Or watch it
and say, I love John Wayne, Jesus and John Wayne, etc.
Living Out My Faith in You is banned. This song reminds me of a Bruno Mars song called Grenade. In that song, Bruno Mars says, I would catch a grenade for you. I would throw my hand on a blade for you. Jump in front of a train for you. I'd do anything for
Vote for John McCain for
Vote for John McCain for you. Feel all that pain for
Should I play It's Raining McCain again?
Yeah, right at the end.
It's Raining McCain.
And, you know, like, it's talking about a level of devotion and love that you would never be required to do in most relationships, you know? But it is speaking to the gravity and also trying to get some points. Because now that I told you I would jump in front of a train for you, you're thinking, wow, this guy basically jumped in front of a train for me just by saying
that.
The
suggestion is very powerful.
That's insane. That is so much love. I am flattered. Same vibe going here with the Newsboys. And I wonder if God is blushing when he reads the lyrics for this song. He's
guys,
you do not have to go to jail. Like, seriously, that's so sweet. Like, you're too much. But yeah. It's like the stakes that they are pushing out in the world. It's not even just like, oh, I might get fired, you know, for constantly trying to have Bible study during math class. No. This is saying I am going to get banned.
Right.
From life.
I'm illegal.
I'm against the law because I love God so much. And they're just saying that. That's not a thing that's ever happened to Michael Tate. Michael Tate has had no problems expressing his faith throughout his life, unless it was self-imposed.
Right, but well, what's
okay. I was trouble expressing.
What's interesting about what you're describing, though, is that it is true of this class of people. But I think the people who then valued those as models and role models in the Christian community and culture are inspired towards really reckless, disobedience, and
right.
I'm thinking of someone I used to know that Facebook live stream themselves getting kicked off a college campus or a hospital they work in. I forget what it was for, like, not taking the vaccine or what, where it's like, this is all a part of it. Like the vaccine martyrdom and the Christian martyrdom kind of intersect, where it's like, this is a righteous act that is affirmed by, you know, I don't know if that gentleman was thinking about guilty by the Newsboys, but just the same strain of rhetoric that animates this theme is so prevalent in other parts of the culture, too.
Oh, totally. And I mean, yeah, this is like a rallying cry to see the stakes as so high, you know, like to see the stakes of whether or not you get to lead your math class. I'm going to go back to this math class throughout this episode.
I hate math.
Oh, sorry.
Sweet guy. Come here.
English class, Dexter.
Okay, I love the arts.
To Kill a Mockingbird. Dexter would love to kill a mockingbird.
The play? Because I saw the play.
No, himself with his own teeth.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay, come on now.
He would love it.
Hey, we're having fun.
We're having fun over here. But anyway, yeah, but they are raising the stakes that high, where it's like, you know, normally you'd maybe lead the prayer, you'd get censored by your principal, you get some warnings or whatever, and then maybe you'd get fired or suspended or whatever. But when you think I could possibly go to jail for doing this, you do start like acting out way more erratically or whatever, because in your mind it's already like, well, if I'm going to face the consequences, I might as well go out in a blaze of glory.
I'm going all the way. Yeah.
Going all the way, and like that's what God wants for me. He wants to be sold out and like all in. You know,
I will be MLK writing letters from a Birmingham jail.
Exactly.
I will be Paul and Silas. I will be whatever the case may be.
It's like all the better if they actually do go to jail.
It's funny that it's this obnoxious saying that it is not an exclusive trait of the right or left to do, but the reclamation of like, okay, yeah, I'm deplorable Jill now. Or like, yeah, pussy grabs back, you know, that stuff. In this, it's like, okay, yeah, I am guilty of the crime of loving my Lord.
And then people are looking around like, who said he was guilty? Yeah. I'm confused.
I guess so. And I was curious. So this comes out, I guess it actually first came out in 2015, but then the big push for it was in 2016. And I was curious about the state of things as it existed in 2023. you know, 7 or 8 years later. And there's a wonderful article in The Atlantic called "The Supreme Court Has Ushered in a New Era of Religion at School" by Adam Latz, that you can check out if you have an Atlantic subscription like me. But essentially, it pays a lot of mind and attention to the history of how prayer in school became a fulcrum point in the 1960s and all the different like Supreme Court rulings. But one of the most recent of which is one that I think is worth talking about for a second, which is Kennedy versus Bremerton School District, which is a case involving Joseph Kennedy. He is, I think, an assistant coach at a public school in Bremerton, Washington. And his whole deal was leading the team in prayer after. Right. Do you know about this case?
I had like kind of skimmed it, but keep going.
So he does this and it gets to the point where it's like, it's after every game. He's not even the head coach. He's just the assistant coach. And the students, most of them are into it or neutral. Some are not, but they feel compelled to, because if they don't, there's some, like, if I'm not ingratiating myself to this assistant coach of this football team, I may get cut or I may not get time on the field, etc. And so the school board takes a look at it and they're like, what are you doing? This is literally against, like, this statute and this statute and just, like, the 101 church and state stuff. They don't renew his contract. He sues them. The case loses in a lower court, but then it's taken to the Supreme Court eventually. And in a ruling of 6-3, it's ruled in his favor.
On what grounds?
On the grounds that the argument that they're making is that, well, that is a personal prayer thing. Gorsuch wrote the opinion, and he's arguing it. There's a good explainer of it on Fox. He's arguing it based on a set of false facts, which is like, it was just a private expression. It'd be like a coach checking his phone for texts or something.
Like he was just after the game, like praying on his own, and then everyone gathered around him all of a sudden.
Essentially, it's like a circuitous argument towards that.
Okay.
Obviously, the coach himself, Kennedy, he's a practicing Christian. He said, inspired by the film Facing the Giants by the Kendrick Brothers, he began praying after each football game. So the Supreme Court ass decision, which I'm sure when the Kendrick Bros heard that, boy,
my gosh, it was a wet night at the Bros.
That's right. It was sure. The Kendricks were slipping. Everybody, and sliding.
We'll see a lot of babies in 9 months. I'm just saying.
So there is some like, you know, contrasting opinions about the actual impact of it, whether, because there's still several statute in place where it's like, it's not like, all right, have at it with school prayer, but it's part of the Atlantic article lays out of like, it's part of a trend where also schools, like private Christian schools, essentially, that have anti-LGBTQ plus curriculum can get public funding, not based on this case, but another case called Pennsylvania versus Shemp. My least favorite stooge, obviously. And he shouldn't have been messing around with that stuff. Like, get out of politics, man.
No, not really your thing.
You should be doing it. But all the TLDR of this, and people should read up for this themselves, is that it's going the way they want it to go.
Right.
They are, like, through a system in which no citizen has elected or voted for officials, they're just swatting them down. Mm-hmm. Kavanaugh's doing what he's gonna do, and fucking Gorsuch, obviously. And of course, it's just like Sotomayor's like, no, you know, writing the dissenting opinion in the 6-3 all the time. But the state of it in 2023 is like, if you love school prayer, that new gum you like is coming back in style.
It feels like there have been a lot of wins for like conservative talking point, you know, being able to deny people your business and things like that. Mm-hmm. A lot of wins for them.
A lot of epic wins.
Happy for them. Yeah, finally getting a W for
epic
so long.
Epic win sauce, not an epic fail, as I would put it.
I'm concerned with that. They'll find something to complain about.
I'm sure they will. Yes.
Prayer is illegal at the Super Bowl.
Can you imagine? What's so funny, too, is the Joseph Kennedy is seen. There's this NPR write-up of it back in October, and he's seen here taking a knee.
Is that him?
Football. This is him in front of the Supreme Court.
To be an assistant football coach and to go so far. he's inspiring so many ACs across the nation.
He's the assistant coach.
What they could accomplish.
He's not even the head coach. Oh, my God.
Dang.
Anyway, we have this segment we do sometimes called Cover Me, where we go on YouTube and in a sincere search for quality and music and
to
celebration.
Lift up small-time artists.
Small-time artists, not on
children.
Major labels. We don't know if they're children or not.
Sort of a and GCF star search.
That's none of our business. Yeah, it's a GCF star search.
Anybody could be the one to make it to this and to get that KTP comment.
That's right. So here's one by a young gentleman who's got 3,000 views. I won't say what his name is. He kind of looks like Mike White from The White Lotus.
Yes, he does. He's got a Newsboy sweatshirt on.
He's
a fan.
All in.
He's sold out. I'll be on my knees with my hands lifted.
Seven years against the law. I had Newsboys merch when I was in fourth grade.
What'd
you
have?
I had a Newsboys necklace with a little disco ball on it.
It had a disco ball on it?
Because it was the Love Liberty disco tour. So
that sounds like a cool necklace. Did it say Newsboys on it well?
Yes. It said Newsboys and it was a disco ball.
Whoa.
I know.
Now I want a disco ball necklace. Not Newsboys branded per se.
CGS. Saying I believe is out of line. If I'm judged, because I'm going to give my wife. Hell yeah. Gonna give my wife. That's before I sang it. Okay. Here's one from
this is crazy.
From a gentleman. This only has.
Do they all think they live in Iran? Life gave us all eternity. This is a man.
This is kind of a sad circus rendition. It gets me
convicted. This is. I'll be
on this is Lynchian,
this is
I think.
Eerie, yeah. If 7 years against the law, man. Sleep. Oh. If living out my faith in you is fair. I think a child filmed this for him based on the angle and the shakiness of it.
Oh, no.
It's really low.
It was his little brother. Saying I believe.
Saying I believe.
All right. Oh, he's dancing, too. This feels like it was filmed, like, right after his wedding.
You say it's kind of looking like a wedding suit. Lost the coat. Just gets sweaty, pitting out.
I recommend this one. I'm giving it, Caroline, I'm giving it the nice.
Wow.
Nice.
You are the one with the nice. You're good. That's basically a ticket to Hollywood, my friend.
First comment there.
Oh, man.
This one, 982 views.
It feels like people that do covers of this song, not doing so good.
There is footage of Michael Tate doing a preamble for it in concert.
Oh, is it emphasis on the amble?
Emphasis on the pre. We God's not dead. Something.
Made
that movie. God's not dead. Independent film in Hollywood on the planet.
That can't be true.
Number one independent movie in Hollywood on the planet.
I was in D.C. and a guy stopped me. I'm not judging this guy, but you can kind of tell by what he was drinking on, smoking on, that he probably didn't go to church too regularly. Does he go to church at all? The fact is, he wasn't in the loop.
He kind of rambled when he talked and took a long time to get to his point.
Looked like he.
I was like, what's up, dude? He goes, oh, man, you movie
star, man. Are we watching this on 1.2 speed?
Yes,
oh,
we are.
I was getting freaked out. Okay.
Wait a minute. Can you remind me of something? I've been saying for 20 years of my life, I'm in a movie for 2 minutes from a movie star.
He's a movie star.
I'm in the movies. He goes, the movie
got I'm so distracted by this woman on the side. What she's saying.
It was cool, man. It's a good movie, man. I like the movie, man.
Anyway, how long is the preamble?
Is riffing.
2 minutes in. Okay, 2.5 minutes.
Still going.
3 minutes in.
Guys, the song is powerful. It's the new theme song of the movie. When I was a kid.
Oh my God.
When I was a kid.
It's like Chappelle's new special.
They were guilty all day long.
Amen.
This song has really inspired him.
Yeah, that was
it. Gets him going.
Brisk 4 minutes and 45 seconds. Yeah, it gets him revved up. And I understand why. I do see
he's
it.
He's guilty.
Yeah, he's guilty. Okay. Anything else before we give some sort of judgment on this song?
Something.
In the court of GCF, even though we're not the, you know, we're not the jingle judges, but.
We're not. I want to be guilty. That's how it ends. Oh, I want to be guilty.
I know, it's a kink. Handcuffs, lock me up. Come on.
Bit too brawny piggies. Grabbing you by the arm, oink, putting you oink. In the cop car.
Stop. No, I hate it. Delicious. I hate when you grab my head. And... Okay.
Pistol whipping me. Holy. For praying.
Okay. All right. Let's just do it. Holy toaster roast. Toasters a thumbs up. Roasters a thumbs down. Space between is a side thumb. Listen, you know what I'm struck by in re-listening to it so many times and through the voices of so many fresh new artists?
Sure.
The melody, the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, it sounds like contemporary country. If it wasn't the arrangement of electric guitars and synths the way it is,
yeah.
If you put a little steel pedal on that mm-hmm. and jack this thing up.
Guilty.
I'm guilty. I'm guilty as charged. That song from Walk Hard.
The law.
Gracious. Let's just give a joint one.
It's hard. You know, we've all crossed paths with the law in our time, and we want to make sure we're on the right side of it.
Yeah. Hey, we're coming up on my 20-year anniversary of cops pointing a gun at me and telling me to freeze.
Dang, that's right.
Get my hands up in the air and cuffing
beautiful
me.
Years.
After watching Terminator
3. I was going through some of my old papers, like, you know, my folder of like important papers not to throw away.
Yeah.
And in it, I found in there just dozens of parking tickets from my college days. Some of
paid?
Them were, no. Well, they are now. They weren't at the time.
Okay.
They were several months unpaid. And I found an envelope with my mom's handwriting on it. And I guess these had been mailed to my home, like my home address while I was at college. And my mom wrote a note to my dad. She said, these make me sad. Can we help her out?
Oh, my God.
It's like, oh, no. So I was this close as well to being locked up for believing in my right to park wherever the heck I want and to be free in that. So I get this song, even though it did have a lot of twists. It was a riddle. It was a maze to get through,
mm-hmm.
figure out what kind of mind Michael freak Tate was going
under
on.
Under a bridge, brushing something away from his mouth. You don't know what and you don't want to know. But he's like, ooh, what do you think? Are you guilty or not, young lass?
Oh, he's the bridge troll.
I think so.
Yeah. However, I'm going to give it a roast. I don't know about you, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm roasting with you. It's a joint.
Right in the old flames.
Yeah.
Go.
They're guilty. And that's what they want.
But they want, I know,
so
it's a service.
They want that.
Exactly.
That's what they're looking for, bringing a sword
and
whatnot.
They're going to play this at the next Trump rally and talk about being persecuted.
Probably. Oh, man. I was peeping the Michael Tate Instagram. Just to see what was going on.
Yeah, what's going on?
It's a lot of pics of him with Toby.
Oh.
It's him and Toby Mac hanging
nice.
Out.
Nice.
Yeah. So
I'm glad they've stayed friends.
I hope he has someone to talk to.
I hope so. I hope that's not some sort of twisted relationship.
I hope not either.
How could it not be?
How could it not be? The DC Talk group chat, I'm sure, is alive and well. Kevin Max giving
group
a
chat
thumbs
of two,
up, tap
probably.
Back.
Yeah, no, Kevin Max is not in the group chat. He's not invited. That has got to be the craziest experience for him to watch those two and like their journey on. I mean, I guess Toby Mac isn't like fully stumping for the Republican Party, but still.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm
the
sure.
Diverging
he,
paths.
You know, it's probably, but I bet for Kevin Max, it probably is like the way a lot of us are with our family members.
Sure.
So it's like, I love you. We
always
had our
will.
Time. We're distant now.
Yeah.
I'll get together with you on a boat once every year to make, you know, probably like 40 grand.
We'll do a cruise reunion. It's pretty common for family.
Yeah, which is what I would do too. $40,000 split, which is like
split, you know, three ways.
Like $13,000 a piece. I don't know. Don't check the math on me on that. Okay, we're bringing it down. We're dimming the lights. We're lighting the candles. And every week on the show, we don't promote ourselves or our projects. We lift them up to the Lord, including what we're enjoying in secular culture. Caroline, we start with you.
You can lift me up to Christ and throw me in jail, for that matter.
Come on.
At Caroline Spartz. And I'm going to lift up a book I just finished. It was Rob Delaney's book called A Heart That Works.
Woo!
Woo! Woof is the word, but
a real romp, I'm sure.
A real silly romp. It was about losing his sweet son, Henry, who had a tumor in his brain and passed when he was 2 years old. I know that doesn't sound like a good read, but it was fantastic. Rob is a great writer. He is a comedian. He was in Catastrophe. So there's a lot of humor, but also just very poetic, deep things. And I felt like, you know, I can't say I have experienced tragedy like he has and any measurable like closeness to that, but it does help me understand friends of mine or family of mine who are grieving and what they're going through and kind of what their mindset is, and it's very understandable too. So
I found his book tour behind that to be very touching as well.
I don't know about that.
Well, there's just a few interviews he did. He had one with Gail King where she started crying talking to him, and he was very sweet to her.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think we've talked about it, he's still one of the only technically very famous people who will still say the most insane, unhinged, hilarious stuff on his Twitter and still be like, my butt stank or whatever. It's like, hey guys, buy the book.
Yeah.
At the same time.
And yeah.
Mission Impossible 7 joining the crew.
No way.
In a couple months. Yeah.
I like him. He seems like a good dude.
I like him a lot too. You can lift me up everywhere on Peloton, Instagram, Letterboxd, OnlyFans, at Kevin T. Porter. I will lift up a similarly touching piece of art. The Meyerowitz story.
Is that also a tearjerker?
Yeah. No, actually, it might be if you catch on the right day. Is that the Noah Baumbach movie he made for Netflix?
Came out a little while ago, right?
6 years ago.
Yeah.
It's Stiller, Sandler, Emma Thompson, Dustin Hoffman, Elizabeth Marvel. I found it to be very sweet and funny and touching. And to bring it all back, a score by Randy Newman. And he does the song over the credits. It's like a jump scare. It's like, whoa!
Is it really?
It was you the whole time? Yeah. Yeah, but it's great.
He's a great composer.
Phenomenal.
He's that guy.
His score for The Natural, his score for Pleasantville, as we talked about in this very show. Unbelievable stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's 100% that.
You.
I took a test.
Man, if you get that opportunity to go see Randy Newman, Kevin, I'm telling you, you would love it.
I know. I don't have 20 more years to see him, I don't imagine. I got to do it.
Got to get in there.
Lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Patreon.com/Good Christian Fun for more Good Christian Fun. And leave us a review at Apple Podcasts. Every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. This month's charity in January is the Downtown Women's Shelter. Thank you to Michael Tate and all the Newsboys for giving us this art.
Thank you, Michael Tate.
If the charge is writing music that lasts forever, you're guilty.
Guilty is charged.
And there's nothing left to say except for, okay,
I love you, Emma. Emma. Amen.
And let's go out with that song I was thinking about from the Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story, which is, of course, Guilty as Charged. Good morning, Your
Good morning,
Honor.
Your Honor. May I approach the bench?
You saw this movie, right?
Yeah.
I don't give a damn what anyone thinks.
All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I stay up all night and I smoke and I drink. I'm a wanted man and I'm blowing town. Don't waste your time trying to hunt me down. The cops are saying I belong behind bars. And I'm guilty.
Guilty.
I'm guilty as charged. I ain't never lost a fight in my life. Send you home crying to your fat and ugly wife.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.